And we're live for a new episode of the Electric Podcast this week. I'm Friend Lambert, your host, and I'm joined by Seth Winchom. How are you doing today, Seth?
I'm good.
All right, let's jump in. But first, a quick thank to our sponsor. This week, the Electric Podcast is sponsored by Bluetti. Did I pronounce that right?
That's right.
Yeah, it's a power station that you can, with some decent capacity, that you can power your outdoor activities and a lot more. More on them later on in a new special order prize that they are offering to Electric readers and listeners. So stay tuned for that. But let's jump in into the news, starting with the craziness that's happening right now with the Tesla stock.
Like literally right now.
Well, yeah, and the market just closed. So let's check it out. It closed at 10% up, $1,545.
That's amazing.
Yes, it's pretty insane, really. If you look right now, in the last month, Tesla is up 64%. In the last 3 months, it is up 169%. And year to date, so 6 months or so, it is up 269%.
That's
that sinked in for a second in the middle of what clearly appears to be a significant recession with a global pandemic. Tesla stock is now valued at, how does it add up in terms of total valuation? $286 billion. Okay.
That's like Volkswagen and VW put together almost.
Yes. I mean, you just posted like Zero Edge just said it's more valuable than the biggest U.S. bank at this point. That's a lot of value. So, and Elon Musk is taking a little victory lap out of it. Last weekend, he ended up launching those short shorts. actually selling those.
Sold out.
Sold out. Yeah, I heard it's in the several thousand units that they delivered at $69 a pair. So clearly overpriced. I mean, if you're paying more than $30 for this kind of piece of fabric here that doesn't have much on it, it's a lot. But I guess it's a piece of memorabilia, I suppose. But yeah, it broke the internet basically when they broke the website once they launched them. So that's part of the little victory lap that Elon is taking. He's kind of dunking on the shorts. But we and that's thanks to Tyler Hillard for pointing that out to us after the podcast last week. The real victory is, first of all, Elon is the biggest shareholder at Tesla, so his network is skyrocketing here, along with a lot of other people, and we're going to get into that. But the $40 million fine that he had to pay to the SEC 2 years ago after the whole funding secured debacle that happened where the SEC sued him because they thought that he exaggerated when he said that the funding was secured when he tried to, he discussed the possibility of taking Tesla private. So he was fined personally $20 million. Then Tesla was fined $20 million. And it wasn't really Tesla or Tesla shareholders' fault. It was all on Elon and his tweeting habits. So Elon, to be fair, like wanted to pay for the fine, but he couldn't really pay it directly. Like the fine was $20 million for him, $12 million for Tesla. So he tried to pay it indirectly by buying directly from Tesla $20 million worth of shares. Of course, like he still got $20 million worth of share in the deal. So it's not like that big of a problem for Elon, and certainly not now, because back then the share was trading about $280. So if you take into account the recent rise in prices, and of course I did that calculation back on Wednesday when the stock price was trading at $1,300, now it's $1,500. So, well, I won't update the math just now. At the time, it added up to $97 million. That $20 million worth of stock that he bought. So remove that $20 million plus the $20 million that he had to pay directly to the SEC in fine. That's a net profit of $50 million on the fine that he got at the SEC. So he is getting the last laugh on that one. And it's getting pretty clear with the way he's acting in the last few weeks. And if we had any doubt about Tesla actually breaking even with the surprise on beat on the deliveries, I think it's pretty clear now that if Elon is launching the short shorts, he cannot really report a loss in 2 weeks when they report their earnings, right?
Yeah, it seems like he's at least going to break even.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, when we say like they never break even, like it's like a small loss or a small profit, but I would think that it's going to be a small profit if he's making such a big deal out of counting the shorts and everything.
Right, and I think that's kind of his way of kind of telegraphing the, you know, it's a good quarter.
Yeah, it's only a good quarter.
When the shorts come out.
Yeah. So not only Elon is benefiting from this crazy rise in stock price. We posted earlier this week about other employees and executives are really seeing their net worth expose over this. Elon himself, of course, now is worth over, like, I think this now with today's rise, it's over $50 billion his stake in Tesla. So it's making him literally one of the richest men on earth if you had his stake in SpaceX too, and whatever the Boring Company and all the smaller project are worth, which the Boring Company has to be worth some decent amount at this point, because with the Vegas project moving forward, the Ontario project, those are valuable projects. I mean, if we look at the Las Vegas Convention Center project being worth $50 million, and now they already added two casinos to that project, so that's it's probably going to be around the same price for each extension of it, like maybe or maybe like a little cheaper. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Boring Company ends up making several hundred million dollars just from the Las Vegas project. And then if that one is successful, like if it proves to be successful, then it's automatically a multi-billion-dollar company. Anyway, other Tesla employees, though, are benefiting too. We reported on a few that we cannot obviously report on because it's public information. We're not releasing any private information here because they are high-level executive at Tesla and they have to report their holdings in the company. People like Drew Baglino, who's the SVP of powertrain and energy engineering, and he's sort of emerged as the new de facto CTO since JB left. Has over 4,000 shares now worth more than $6 million. Jérôme Guillen, who's probably the most known executive right now at Tesla other than Elon. He's the head of automotive right now, but he was the head of the Model S program when Tesla only had the Model S and Tesla Semi too. He holds almost 10,000 shares, which right now is probably worth with today $15 million plus dollars.
And would you consider Franz an executive?
Yes, but he doesn't report his holdings, I think. Tesla doesn't
report. Yeah, it's
his
weird.
I would argue he's probably you're right. He would be the most well-known executive other than Jerome, because he actually is on presentation more. You're right. Correct. We also reported on Zachary Kirkhorn holding more than $16 million worth of stock right now. That's a crazy one too, because like the guy is, I think he's 35, and he's the CFO of a $280 billion company. and he's getting well compensated for it right now.
To be fair though, he did put up with 10 years of probably a crazy roller coaster. He's probably
50 years older. Oh boy. Okay. Yeah. But the great thing about Tesla compared to most of the automakers, as far as I know, is that they do offer stock grants and stock options throughout the entire company. So production associates, sales staff, they also get stock options, of course, at a much lower level than the executive that we can report on since it's public information. But it's still helpful for the compensation. And I'm sure they are happy about it now during the second quarter, they all took an important salary cut. A lot of them were furloughed, though that's not because of Tesla, to be fair. It was furloughed because of the government. But Tesla also put salary cuts throughout the entire company during the second quarter. And for the lower pay level employees, that's a bigger deal. And unfortunately, they don't take as much advantage of the stock options because a lot of them have to sell their stock. Well, first of all, once they exercise them, they have to sell some for paying the taxes on them. And also, if it's a smaller grant of stock, they might actually need it if the salary is not high enough to compensate. So they're certainly not taking as much advantage as this of this big run of Tesla stock. So I'd like for people to appreciate that this crazy quarter that we are experiencing as shareholders, which I'm sure is making everyone's broker account looks pretty good, and I know it makes miners look good in the last few weeks. We need to appreciate that a lot of that is because of the Tesla employees that took a pay cut in the quarter and still worked like maniacs. I mean, they delivered 90,000 cars with all the restriction that they had. So we need to appreciate that, and a big thank you to Tesla employees, especially for their work in the last quarter.
Yeah, hopefully there's some bonuses around the corner here.
Yeah, because they did also stop bonuses. They stopped the stock grants in the last quarter. So apparently they are bringing it back and updating them, but I'm not sure exactly if it's going to compensate for the salary cuts in the last 3 months. Yeah, I see a bunch of people commenting about potential short squeeze right now. That's making the stock go so high. And we had an article on that this morning, thanks to data from our friend at S3 Partners. We are especially a Hihar Dusanisky. I'm sorry, I'm probably butchering your name right now. But he's one of the foremost experts in short interest. And for those who are not aware what a short squeeze is if you are a short seller and you're shorting a stock like Tesla's, you are bidding against this, you're bidding on the stock going down. So you're borrowing a share of the stock at the current price, and you hope that the stock will go down. And in the future, you're going to buy the stock, which is called covering your short position, your borrowing of the share. And if that price is lower at that time, you make the difference between the price that you borrowed it at and the price that you're actually buying it. Or if it goes up, then you have to pay actually more and you lose money. But when you do cover your position, you are buying the stock, which artificially increases the demand for the stock. And if the stock is already going up, it can increase it even more, increase the price even more, which we call a short squeeze. So S3 Partners this week, they reported on that. And it looks like there was indeed a short squeeze, but not that big of a short squeeze, really, because it was talking about only 1.7 million shares worth $2.3 billion, which is not actually that much when you take into account that the entire short position on Tesla right now is $20 billion. So about 10% of the... well, actually, no, it's worth $280 billion now. So all right, less than 10% of the stock position that's been covering. And he said that also the stock, the short covering slowed down in the last few weeks, and the biggest rise in stock price happened in the last week or two. So the short squeeze didn't contribute that much to it. So we might be seeing today that big 10% increase in stock price. That might be another short squeeze. And that could continue. We don't know. But if we look at the next catalyst for Tesla in the next few weeks, of course, there's earnings on the 22nd. And we expect Tesla to announce a small profit then. And that could in turn trigger Tesla to be included in the S&P 500, which could in turn create another rally. So catalysts so far are pretty good for Tesla in the next few weeks. Based on our expectation, at least. All right. So now something that we reported earlier today. Volvo got itself a nice little Model Y. I wonder why. That rhymed.
We don't wonder why. We know why.
Yeah, I mean, the most likely wants to either benchmark it or reverse engineering it, or both. I don't know. Maybe benchmark it and then reverse engineer it.
And we should note that everybody does this, and even probably Tesla does this.
I'm not sure that Tesla does.
Well, maybe. I don't know. We don't know. But we know that this is a common practice. Everybody in the industry kind of does it. And, like, you know, why wouldn't they? Like, I mean, if you're talking about R&D dollars, what's a better investment, buying a Tesla or, you know, trying to figure out how your competitors work, you know, from on paper?
Yeah.
I think it's a solid investment.
But the interesting part here, of course, is that the vehicle is not in Europe until now. So the Model Y, they are importing it from the US. So it's one of the first Model Y in Europe. I think a few other companies also imported it in Europe. So it might not be the very first one. But Volvo has been one of the first to always get an early Tesla. They did it with the Model 3 too. They got an early Model 3 and benchmarked it. So, and of course, Volvo has a competitor to the Model Y that's coming up. Of course, it's already done. So I doubt they're gonna learn a lot from the Model Y that they can implement on the. We're talking about the XC 40 here.
Yeah, the Recharge.
Yeah, that's the dumbest name. Call it XC 40 Recharge.
The marketing's on par.
Yeah, but it looks like a pretty good vehicle though.
Yeah, it's solid. My wife's a big fan.
Yeah, and Tesla too. Looks like Tesla liked it too because they actually hired the designer of the car at Tesla. We reported on that a few years ago, and because of that story today that I did on the Model Y that they bought, I looked back on Ian Kittle, the designer of the XC40, and he's actually credited now as the lead designer of the exterior of the Cybertruck.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, pretty cool, right?
That's a big change from the XC40.
No. Yeah, really? but yeah, so after we posted this story, a bunch of other publications took it up too. And Elon commented on one of the other story on it. And he made a few interesting comments. First of all, he said that they should look at the Model Y that's going to be produced in Berlin instead of this one because it's going to be better. Which of course doesn't make much sense because it doesn't exist yet and it won't exist for another year. So Volvo is just working with what they have, they can get. But he made a few other interesting comments. First, he said that it's going to be that Berlin Model Y that he referred to, automotive body engineering revolution, finally.
So what does that mean?
Well, we already know that the Tesla made a lot of progress with the body engineering for the Model Y, like especially with the rear casting, they changed like 70 parts into 2 parts.
Right. Way fewer parts.
And then he said that they're gonna bring that further to like 1 part and even like crazy. They're gonna make more use basically of the new casting, mega casting technology that they developed for the Model Y. And the Gigafactory Berlin is going to be the first one to feature that. And I assume it's going to come to the one produced in Fremont too. It's just that right now that's all they produce in the Model Y and they don't want to change it too much because that would affect the production capacity that they're trying to ramp up. So it makes sense that the new factories, I would assume that he talked about Gigafactory Berlin and maybe he said that because it's Volvo and it's in Europe and everything, but I would assume that Shanghai, the Model Y is produced at Shanghai, will also feature those improvements, right?
Didn't he say something? Wasn't there something about a paint job in Berlin going to be?
Berlin is also going to get what he said was the most advanced paint shop in the world, and it's going to enable.
I wonder if that's related. I mean, I wonder if the Model Y in Berlin is going to be like the Model Y 2.0 or something. It sounds like
it to a degree, yeah.
Right.
But then the other interesting thing that he said after that is that someone in the comments, Mr. Kapkan, he suggested that the Model Y is too big for some cities in Europe. He asked about what a smaller European style hatchback, and Elon responded to it saying that's probably a good one to design and engineer in Germany. So it's the first time that he acknowledged that Tesla might build a smaller electric hatchback, which is very interesting. Though at the same time, we sort of have an idea that that might be the car that they were supposed to design and engineer in China, because Tesla did release this picture of the car after they announced that they're going to build and design and engineer a car in China. And that looked like, sort of looked like an hatchback, right?
I don't know what that is. That, I mean, look at the back wheel. It like connects to the car. Like,
yeah, I mean, so it's an early design drawing.
Really early.
Yeah.
Like, who would draw?
No, you have to look at the general form of it. It looks like a smaller car hatchback format. But at the same time, it also could be like you just raise it a tiny bit and it looks like a crossover. It looks like a Model Y form factor almost. So I don't know. So when they announced Gigafactory Shanghai, Elon did say that they also going to build a research and design center in China and start hiring more local talent and design a whole vehicle program from the ground up there. Then he hinted at something similar when they announced Gigafactory Berlin, though I don't think he announced a new vehicle program per se, but he did say that it's going to be a research and design center in Berlin too. We actually recently learned that it might end up in the a big industrial park in proper Berlin. Like Gigafactory Berlin is actually a little bit outside of Berlin, like maybe an hour outside of Berlin. And
Berlin's so big that it's like, you know,
it's spread out.
An hour outside of LA is still LA, you know.
Yeah, but the jurisdiction, of course, is
right.
So now it sounds like, I mean, at least it's not completely confirmed, but I mean, the best information we get from Tesla these days, it's Elon's Twitter, since the PR department is basically dissolved. It sounds like they plan to develop a vehicle program in Germany from that new design center and engineering center in Berlin. So that's an interesting one. And it might be a hot electric hatchback. That would be great.
I think that's way overdue. I mean, they could really just take the Chevy Bolt, make it look good, make it all-wheel drive. And
minimalist interior, like a Model 3 interior.
Yeah, like a real interior, or, you know, a smart interior.
Yeah.
And I mean, the form factor is like fantastic and that thing.
Yeah. So you could have one, like what I suggested in the post, like a 5-door hatchback, 250 miles of range, starting at about $30,000. You have a rear wheel drive powertrain on it, nothing too powerful. Probably underpowered than the Model 3, and you can reduce the price with a smaller form factor at around $30,000. Though I think that would probably not kill the Model 3, but badly affect the Model 3 because of the hatchback. Really, like people will take a smaller car if it means a hatchback over the trunk of the Model 3. Would you agree?
I agree.
Yeah,
no question.
So at a lower price because of the smaller form factor, $30,000, I feel it's not too crazy. And I mean, people are talking about $20,000-$25,000. I think Tesla still wants to remain a premium brand and they won't go too down market. Also, this car will also be equipped with the autopilot hardware suit and the big computer in it and everything. And that costs a lot of money. Even though I say $30,000, that's going to be without the FSD for sure. So then you add the FSD to that. At that point, it's going to be like $10,000 or something. But the real thing that I would be crazy fun and I'll be the first to put a reservation on would be a performance version of an electric hatchback from Tesla with a dual motor powertrain, which is something that we've been begging for a long time. Like with all the fun ones, like the Chevy Bolt, like I'd love to see a dual motor powertrain on the Chevy Bolt. Renault and their Zoe, they've been teasing us with the Zoe RS forever, like a dual motor version of the Zoe with a more sporty look and everything. Looks awesome, but they never released it. That's what we want, basically. We want Tesla to do that. And you sell that at $40,000 plus option, and it would sell like crazy. It would probably sell like an average of $50,000. With option, so it'd still be like a profitable car, I think, and it would be an autocross killer. Really, it would be like so fun to play around with that, lower to the ground and lighter. You can make it a lot lighter. Like you don't need more than a 50 kilowatt hour battery pack in there to get 200 plus mile range, and maybe if you're like 55 kilowatt hour battery pack. and you would get over 250, I think.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah. Anyway, I want to see that. Make that happen, Tesla. It's an order. I will literally place an order for it.
Should we read our?
Let's get into. Let's get into it.
All right, our sponsor this week is Glueti Inc. It's a company that's highly committed to offering clean, quiet, stable, safe, and efficient portable power stations for home, outdoor, emergency, medical staff, and more. The company's newest product is the Glueti AC200 power station. It's basically like a generator, what you would use a generator for, but it's just a big battery. But this thing has ports incoming and outgoing like nobody's business. All right, so the new power station uses LG auto level battery cells and features 1700 watt hours lithium battery and a continuous AC output of 2000 watts. So that's enough to like power a refrigerator and then some. Mm-hmm. A Glueti AC200 includes 6 2000 watt AC inputs, one USB-C 60 watt input with power delivery, 4 USB-A ports for 12 volt DC inputs, and one RV input. There's also, I think the RV input is like a generator input. There's also a 700 watt, 150 volt solar input for optional solar panel charging. This is the first power station of its size we've seen with two built-in 15 watt wireless charging pads on top. So you can just throw your phone on top of it and it's going to charge. So Glueti gives you enough inputs and outputs to charge up to 17 devices simultaneously while having enough juice to even power your electric motorcycles, scooters, and even an EV like a Tesla to get a quick 11 or more miles when needed. Probably not the best idea, but you know, if you need a couple extra miles, why not throw that on there? I would use this for drones.
Wow, that's smart.
Flying your drone. You can order the new Glueti power station today for a special $1,199 pre-order price before prices increase to $1,800 for the retail launch. Hit the show notes for more info. Thank you to Glueti.
Yeah, thank you, Glueti. It looks like a very cool product. And what I'd use it for is, and I know on the campaign, you can add also solar panels, like small deployable solar panels. So you can literally like put that in your car. Put the Glueti in your car, put the solar panels, go camping, and you just deploy your Glueti with a few solar panels, and you have power forever on for camping.
Yep.
For all your off-grid camping, like the IO on that, like it's basically like a house electric system combined with a battery pack.
Then you get the Starlink internet, and you don't have to ever come back.
Yeah, exactly. Very cool. Very cool. All right. We had also this week the what you call the annual full self-driving is happening this year comment from Elon Musk. He made the comment during the World Artificial Intelligence Conference in Shanghai. Well, it was in Shanghai, but Elon wasn't there. He appeared virtually. And he basically did a show of confidence in Tesla's ability to deliver FSD this year, which has been, to be fair, like you said, it's been delayed a lot, but he's been sticking to that timeline for the last year or so, or maybe a little bit more so, and he's sticking to it now with 6 months to go in the year. So it's probably the best show of confidence we've seen so far. So what he said exactly is, I am extremely confident that level or essentially complete autonomy. Oh, this was supposed to be level 5 here. A little typo on my part. I am extremely confident that level 5 or essentially complete autonomy will happen. And I think it will happen very quickly. I think at Tesla, I feel like we are very close to level 5 autonomy. I think that I remain confident that we will have basic functionality for level 5 autonomy this year. So use the term basic functionality, which I think refers to feature complete, that he's been using that term feature complete for the last few years. I think that's what he's referring to here, which feature complete is like, it's basically what autopilot is today to highway driving. Tesla wants to have a system like that for city driving. And if you combine that with the autopilot, with the smart summon, you would technically have like all the features needed to have a fully autonomous driving system, but it would still be only usable under the watchful eye of the driver that is ready to take control at all times. So it's not technically a level 5, because level 5 is literally you can go to sleep in the car, the car's going to bring you to your destination. And so it's so hard to talk about that stuff, right? Like the everyone has different terminology. Everyone use different ways to talk about it. And words don't have meaning anymore. Like we used to be, if we talk about level 5 autonomy, if we talk about full self-driving, Tesla changed the meaning of full self-driving, basically.
Right. Well, they changed the meaning of autopilot, then enhanced autopilot.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, the idea is basically you want to be able to go to sleep in the back of your car and wake up at your destination. Not that you want to you don't want to read in your driver's seat and kind of look around and make sure everything's cool.
Goes back to Tesla using the drivers as test pilot, really.
Right.
Because they can have all the capacity of a level 5 in there and still ask the drivers to pay attention. And then if you do that, you're basically training the pilot to getting better.
Right.
Correcting the mistakes and everything. And there shouldn't be mistakes in level 5. I mean, there will be mistakes in level 5, but they shouldn't be.
There should be very few.
Very like few.
Fewer than human.
Yeah, 10 times fewer than human probably. Which is not that hard to achieve.
Right.
We do a lot of mistakes as human. 30,000 deaths a year in the US alone. So it's you would think that'd be pretty easy to beat, but of course it's a little bit more complicated than that. But yeah, he talked about Tesla basically focusing right now on like not having any major problem to achieve FSD, just small problems, but many of them that they need solving, which is specifically like all the odd situation that a car would encounter on the road, and the autopilot of the FSD system needs to be able to handle those situations safely, which is basically what we already knew. Like it's not really new information at this point, but it's nice to see Elon still confident in that timeline so close to the deadline.
Yeah, we have a million robo taxis on the road in how many months?
Yeah, that's the thing. So if you have feature complete, you don't have robo taxis, right? They don't. One doesn't mean the other. Like a robo taxi, to be a robo taxi, it needs to be through level 5, where you don't need to monitor it.
Right.
So I don't like this. I don't get it. And he's moving the goalpost a little bit.
Right. I mean, they're getting closer. They're not getting further. Yeah. They're not standing still. So,
yeah, in the next 2 to 4 months, we're supposed to see the autopilot rewrite. I assume that that's going to show some more functionality that could be interesting.
And is that going to be available on hardware 2, 5, or only 3? The rewrite. Or are they going to run 2 simultaneous things? Or are they going to upgrade everybody to?
Oh, that's a good question. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know. That's a good question, because might be more efficient software, so it might actually be able to help also previous owners. But at the same time, Elon has been saying in the last, and also owners have been experiencing that, if you don't have an FSD computer right now, you're not getting that much new functionality with new updates. They sort of reach a plateau on the features for the computing power that's in previous computers, autopilot computers.
Yeah.
So, and also they're not releasing any new feature on that. So if you have to have bought FSD to get the new features for most features are coming out. And if you bought FSD, you're supposed to get the new computer. So, but I mean, I bought FSD months ago and I haven't got a computer since. So I don't know. Though at the same time, I'm someone else is using my car. So like, it's not like I'm going to the service, and I think they try to match the upgrades to a service appointment or something like that.
Hmm.
So maybe the next service appointment I'll ask them, do you happen to have an FSD computer? Because you owe me one.
Right.
Speaking of computers, that was a less fun news that came out last weekend. Last week, Tesla updated the warranty for the MCU unit from replacement MCU. So the MCU is still under the warranty for the general warranty on the car, which is 4 years. But now if you get a replacement, and a lot of people are getting replacement MCUs, they give just 2 years or 25,000 miles, which is a big bummer because a lot of people are getting replaced their MCUs because of the eMMC bug that Tesla had for years. That bug was in Tesla MCUs for years. It was only fixed like last year, but even if it, that even though it was fixed, it's likely still damaged to a degree the MCUs and will most likely result in the need for replacement sooner.
Yeah. So interesting side note, my Model X on the way back from Vermont this week, the display just disappeared for a little while we were driving. And I was like, oh, I wonder if I got the MCU problem. Yeah. But we pulled over, did the 3 minute
reset
button reset and came back. But that thing's going back soon. So don't worry about me. I'm good.
And you're giving back your Model X now the next 2 weeks, right? Or something like that?
Yeah,
by the end of the month.
No, that was my Model X that had that. I had that MCU problem.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But that's the one that you're giving back and
right
by the end of the month. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're not too worried about it.
Right.
The MCU is going to be someone, it's going to be Tesla's problem because Tesla is getting the car back anyway.
Right.
Yeah. So that's a bummer now because like you most likely if you need a replacement MCU, it's because of a defect from Tesla. I mean, I'm saying that right now. It's not official yet. I know that the NHTSA is investigating the situation, and they will determine or not if it's a defect or if it's normal wear. But we learned from a bunch of Tesla hackers like Green that it's most likely this eMMC issues, which is a problem with Tesla's code, really, and the actual memory card in the vehicle. So it's Tesla should own up to it, replace the units, and give an actual 4 year warranty on the units, and not that 2 years, 25,000 miles. So I'm thinking that the logic here is an accounting logic where Tesla needs to have that is warranty allocation, and they're looking at it right now, and they're looking at how many replacement units they're gonna have to do. And if those replacement units all have a 4 year warranty, it's going to increase their warranty allocation, and they don't want to do that for some reason. I'm thinking that's the most likely explanation here.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. All right. If you guys have any questions, put them in the live comments on the right on YouTube, and we're going to get to them in a few minutes. We're just going to move away from Tesla articles, Tesla news from now, and do a few more EV news, starting with Seat Cupra Elborn. We reported on the concept of the Elborn when it was unveiled last year. We're pretty excited. Very cool looking hatchback, very aggressive looking, using the MEB platform from Volkswagen, because Seat is the Spanish brand of Volkswagen. It's a Spanish brand, but they also delivered outside of Spain. And they're pretty. And
I think it might be pronounced like Seat or something weird. That
Seat?
Yeah, I have no idea. Maybe not, but like I remember somebody pronouncing it weird, and I was like, "What? Oh, Seat."
Yeah,
but maybe I don't know.
Well, actually, the brand I think is Cupra, because Seat or whatever it's pronounced as like a performance brand called Cupra. Okay. My understanding is so. This is the Cupra Elborn by Seat by Volkswagen. And it's very much by Volkswagen because it's used the MEB platform, and it's going to be produced at Volkswagen's Zyko plant. So it's very much a Volkswagen car. Okay, we have Lars Dogel here that says it's Seat, I think. Seat? Is that how you would say that?
Seat.
Seat. Boy, okay. Seat.
Seat. Seat. So we have whatever.
We have a few options here. Anyway, now what we got this week is the production version of the car that's been updated a little bit. Very much the same lines, but the front end has been updated a little bit more. It's not as sleek as the concept, in my opinion, but people seem to like it.
I like it.
Yeah, I like it too. I just like the concept a little bit more.
Yeah.
And it's going to feature the basically at least what they said, it was at the top of the line, like ID3 powertrain. And I don't know if it's going to be without the top of the line powertrain, but if they have other option. But right now they're only talking about what they are offering on the top of the line ID3, really, which is an 82 kilowatt hour battery pack, fast charging. 0 to 60 is not that fast though. We're talking about 5.9, I think. So it's not like a super performance car or anything like that, but it does feature some sport features, like a dynamic chassis control sport system that has been especially developed for the Elborn. So it's not exactly like an ID3 reskin, like rebody or something like that. It's its own car to a degree, but yeah, it's has a lot of similarity with the ID3. It's built on the same platform.
Yeah, it's a pretty big battery for that size. Yeah. What is it, like 77 usable?
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's long range model 3 and Y size.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're talking about up to 500 kilometers of range, which of course they're probably talking to with LTP, but I think it's probably achievable. Another car that was unveiled this week was the Audi Q4 Sportback.
Another nice looking car, I think.
Yeah, very nice looking car. That's a concept though, but I virtually attended the unveiling, and the designer of the car, Mr. Hamar Vaya, he's the exterior designer of the vehicle. He did say that it's pretty much what you're gonna see on the road. So this, of course, there's like there's no door handles and anything like that, but so it's going to have to be modified a little bit, but it's mostly, maybe the wheels are a little bit big, but it's mostly what you're going to see. I think the back is very cool. The diffuser in the back is very well designed. I like the lines on the side here and like the eyebrow that you get on the fenders, the back fenders. Mm-hmm. Really, really cool looking car. In terms of specs, I mean, it's nothing new that we're learning from this, because we already knew about the Q4, normal version of the Q4, and non-sports back, if you will. This is very, very much what the e-tron sports back is to the e-tron. They have the Q4 e-tron and the Q4 e-tron sports back. So it's they are literally like just building out their electric lineup right now of SUVs. And this one is a smaller size. Of course, it's going to be more competitive with the Model Y, really. So it's going to even more than the Q4 e-tron, I think, because it's a little bit more sporty, looks more like the Model Y. But in terms of size, very similar to Model Y or the Mustang Mach-E. And for the specs, so we're talking about all-wheel drive system with 225 kilowatt output, 0 to 62 in 6.3, 82 kilowatt hour battery pack. Just like the Seat that we talked about.
Yeah.
440 kilometers of range for 290 miles of range under the WLTP. The price, they talked about it starting at less than 40,000 euros. However, that's not going to be the version that I just discussed. That's going to be that's the spec they released for the concept. But those specs are probably going to be the higher end version of the car. That's going to be probably closer to like $55,000-$60,000. While the base version is going to feature a single motor system, probably a smaller battery pack, and start at less than 40,000 euros, which is around $45,000, which is probably what the lower end version of the Model Y is going to cost. So it's going to be very much a competitor in that segment. I mean, that segment is going to be pretty crazy in the next few years, because that car is coming out next year. Coming out next year with the Q4 e-tron 2. Then you have the Mustang Mach-E, you have the Model Y, you have the new Mercedes-Benz. So wait,
is this is a MEB platform one or no?
Pretty sure it is, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, those things are going to be all over the place.
Yeah, look at that diffuser in the back. Looks very cool.
Yeah, that's nice. It's got a good stance.
Yeah. The interior is very much an Audi interior, so whether you like that or not. I like the feel of an Audi interior. Like I drove the e-tron a lot, and I really like the interior, the way it feels and everything. It's going to take a lot for me to move away from the Tesla UI. They just have such a big lead in UI. And I'm just not that big of a fan of Apple Car and things like that. Like I prefer the Tesla UI to Apple Car personally.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I do like about Apple Car or CarPlay and Android Auto is like you can respond to text messages verbally. Mm. You know, that's kind of nice, especially on a trip. If somebody's texting you, you don't have to look at your phone or anything.
Mm-hmm. But you can do that with Siri too directly on your phone, right?
Yeah, for the most part, but it's not, you know, you can actually read this stuff. And then also, you know, Google Maps are a little bit better than Tesla's maps sometimes, even though Tesla uses Google, but
yeah,
you know, for navigation, I mean.
I've never, like, I always use the navigation on Tesla, and I never had really an issue with it, so.
Yeah, so when I use Tesla's maps, I 100% can get to where I'm going. It's just sometimes there's a better way to get there. And, like, you know, if I'm going from my house to JFK Airport, Tesla will give me a thing, and I'll be like, that sounds like a little bit long. Then I'll do it on Google. I'll save like 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm doing a trick like that, that I know that's traffic heavy, like I do my research before I leave anyway. So like just to make sure. And then I end up in the car. The car will tell me something. And if I don't like it, I'll do something else. But generally, it fits with what I want to do, depending on traffic.
I would also say Spotify is a little bit better on CarPlay.
That's true. But apparently Tesla is working on that. Like they're working on updating that. So at least that will improve. All right. The last news before we go to the question is Rivian announcing today a new investment round of, are you sitting now? $2.5 billion. So if you haven't been following Rivian's extensive fundraising, they already raised like close to $3 billion in the last year and a half, 2 years. First from Amazon, then Ford, then Cox Automotive. And then in December, so like 6 months or so ago, like 6-7 months ago, they raised $1.3 billion from T. Rowe Price, which is a former big Tesla shareholder, and a few other firms. Like I think Amazon keeps buying into the company too since they first invested last year. Now, so $1.3 billion, everyone was like, what? Like, Rivian getting $1.3 billion? Today, they announced $2.5 billion a new round. So that brings them over $5 billion in funding over the last 2 years. This round was led by T. Rowe Price, who disinvested in Tesla last year. I'm sure they are biting their fingers right now, where they're kicking themselves in the butt. Yes, they now have a big chunk of Rivian, good for them. They say they also list a few other investors that participated in the round. So Soros is now big on Rivian. Quotu, I don't know them. Fidelity Management, also a big Tesla investor. Baron Capital, that's Ron Baron, that's also a big Tesla investor. Amazon keeps maintaining its stake in the company, so buying back in. And BlackRock, who's also, I think BlackRock owns like 1 or 2% of Tesla too, through their multiple founds and everything. RJ Scaringe, the CEO of Rivian, he commented that they're going to use the money to bring the R1T, R1S, and the Amazon delivery van to market, which are supposedly all coming into 2021. They haven't really updated the timeline though, like, because the van, the, not the van, but the electric pickup truck and SUVs, the R1T, R1S, they were supposed to come in late 2020, and they were pushed as, amid the pandemic. So we don't know when, like, because if they were supposed to come in 2020, late 2020, it could be like in early 2021 now, but they haven't updated that timeline yet, so it's just say 2021. So we're looking forward to that. But yeah, I mean, $5 billion, that will get them hitting the ground running, really. Like, it's a lot of money. It's hard to imagine that they won't get the production. Like, we haven't really seen like EV startup make it outside of China so far. Rivian might be the first one to. Tesla was an electric startup at some point, but
right
now they're like major automaker,
making the biggest in the world by far.
Yeah, in valuation, but also like we joke around, like the valuation is a little bit crazy. Like, as an investor myself, I don't know exactly if I could justify it, but as an automaker, they also like now produce hundreds of thousands of vehicles per year, and they are going to double that next 2 years with 2-3 new factories. So they are a major automaker now. All right, let's jump into the questions. What do we have?
All right. Let's go to the top. So at the beginning, we were talking about the stock. What's driving the stock today? Probably some short selling, squeezing.
The new car announcement today, too. I think that'll help.
Like the German.
Yeah, the German built car probably helped. But yeah, the short squeeze is probably very likely too.
Yeah, it seems a little bit, what did Greenspan say? Irrational exuberance. It feels a little bit bubbly.
Yeah.
But, you know, if Tesla keeps executing, they become a huge company. They become one of the biggest automakers ever. And then they have the energy side as well. Why not?
Mm. You think they're looking to raise money right now?
Tesla?
Yeah. The stock is so high that it must be hard not to take advantage of it. Like the people in the finance department, they might be like running the numbers like every day, like, hey, we could raise like $3 billion right now with less than a percent dilution or something. Like it would be hard to not do it, I feel like.
Right. And Devion 89 says, with these prices, Tesla can easily dilute the stock to finance both Gigafactory Austin and another Gigafactory Tulsa.
Yeah.
That would be so amazing. All right. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, they could raise $1 billion for the. Did we not discuss the factory in Tulsa? Austin? Yeah. I think we skipped Austin. I didn't put it in the post. Did I skip that? Oh, yeah. I should. It's in the headline of the podcast. So I should probably discuss it real quick. The news this week is that the local school district approved their part of the tax break. So a big part of the taxes of the new piece of land was going to go to the school district. So the school district needed to approve any tax break, and they approved it. And it's not really surprising, because it's money that they didn't have and they weren't going to have unless Tesla comes. So they do give them like $50 million in tax break, but they were getting like $50,000 a year from that piece of land on their property, on their jurisdiction.
And Tesla being there, it's going to raise all the prices. It's going to have more people move in. It's going to be a boon.
But forget about that. Also, Tesla is going to basically over the period of the tax break, going to still pay like $28 million in taxes to that school district. So they want that money. So it was a no brainer. That's what I've been saying for a while now. When I said the deal is basically done, it just need to go through the process and being approved at all the different levels. And now they still need that's just part of the approval. They also need the county commissioners to approve the wider incentive package. I think that's going to happen next week. So the deal is going to probably be made official next week.
Yeah. So 01010 says Franz is not in the C-suite. That's a little bit like Apple. Johnny Ive over at Apple used to be like, you know, kind of the number two guy behind Steve Jobs and then Tim Cook for a while. And everybody was like, well, how much does he make? You know, how much stock does he own? Because he was never in the stuff, you know, really? The reports.
And he was at Apple for like two or three decades, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was definitely top two or three people there, but not in the C-suite. So they don't have to report on him.
Weird. Do you think he might be a billionaire from Apple stock?
Johnny Ive?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, he's been there for longer than
I would say so, yeah. For sure.
Because the CEO now has just became a billionaire, I think, right? He's
Tim Cook?
Tim Cook is a billionaire.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised that if Ive, even though didn't have to report it as a billionaire from it.
Right. Daniel Neal says, would love to see Rob Maurer, Tesla Daily, on the podcast or interviewed. Oh, yeah. We know that guy. Best non-biased commenter on Tesla. Oh, are we biased?
I don't know. We just disclose the stake and the company, and we have the cars and everything, and no bias at all.
Shake and bake. With the arrival of the Aria, do you think that will drive down the price of a Model Y anytime soon?
They're gonna release the new lower price version. So around the time that the Aria is going to come out, I think by then Tesla's going to have the rear-wheel drive version.
Yeah, so something mildly interesting. When I'm ordering my Model Y, it says the base price is $41,000. And then the long range package is another $11,000 on top of that. So theoretically, the Model Y base price would be $41,000. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know, because at the same time they're gonna do, like, if they do like they do with the Model 3, it's gonna be long range. It's gonna be standard range plus, but so the long range is $11,000, but that has to include also the dual motor, because the base version doesn't have dual motor, so it's weird.
All right, so Rodney Jackson says we'll have to wait and see how the Aria presentation goes next week to see if it's even remotely competitive with the Model Y. I think it won't be competitive on all areas, but I don't think it's going to cost $40,000.
It's probably going to be competitive with the upcoming standard range plus Model Y or something.
Right.
But they don't. They're not going to have like a luxury version. Like it's
right.
Like,
and charging is a big question.
They should make a more luxurious version though, with the higher performance, and set it under the
Infinity brand.
Yeah,
I agree. Nissan is in trouble. Model Y will have a price drop at cost. Efficiencies arise at higher build volume.
Yeah, it was just disgusting.
Will battery day have much effect on Model 3 Y, or have more relevance to the Cybertruck semi truck?
Probably the last two, yeah, because they cannot change too much right now, Model 2, Model Y, because that's what they depend on for their volume deliveries. So they cannot change too much in it.
All right. Jose F says, Fred, you are the Tesla PR department, but he means that in a good way. Best Tesla information on the internet.
Appreciate that. But
all right.
Yeah, I wouldn't qualify as a PR department.
Right.
They don't like me very much there.
No, it's... If you were the PR department, you would probably get fired. Wanting to pull the trigger on a Model Y, but I'm being caught up in the Osborne effect. Help. Yeah, it's a good point. Like, you don't know what's coming around the corner, but that's always the case with Tesla.
Yeah.
I think the best bet is just like wait for like the next whatever happens. And as soon as whatever happens, make the move. Although I'm not doing that. I'm buying now. So who knows? I'm wondering the same thing. Definitely wouldn't buy another Tesla before battery day. I don't think the Model Y is going to change much.
Yeah, neither the Model 3. If you were looking for like a performance Model S, I would wait. But other than that, not really.
Short sellers say Tesla has a demand problem. Do the shorters have a credibility problem?
They love talking about Norway right now, where Tesla is losing market shares. Love to talk about, like, but the market is just way too fragmented right now, and it's just too dependent on regulation. You cannot base the current performance in the market for future performance right now. It just doesn't make any sense. I had a Wall Street analyst tell me that Tesla delivering 90,000 cars last quarter wasn't good. Because they were dependent on like inventory from the last quarter and everything like that. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, look at Tesla's sales versus the same period last year. It's down about 5%. Then look at everybody else. It's down like 30 to 50%. That's what you need to look at. So Tesla did a lot better than most of the automakers, despite having just one factory or one and a half or whatever, like two.
Yeah.
Let's say two, to be fair.
All right. Could Tesla someday have several unique divisions, high luxury, mid-level, heavy truck, light truck, solar? I mean, they do have a solar division. It's kind of separate, but
yeah, I'm not sure what you mean by unique divisions.
I guess like maybe separate brands, maybe.
Chevy
and Cadillac and GMC. I don't know. Why do that? Like, yeah.
They will go down market past $30,000. I would be very surprised if they do that.
I agree. I don't think it makes sense for them. Tesla has a demand problem. Too much demand. Need more giga and terafactories.
In the long term, you're right, Joseph.
Yeah.
But Tesla do have some short-term demand problem in specific markets, and those are the ones that the shorts are focusing on, which is a bad idea.
So this is a response to the divisions. That's a possibility, but I don't think it's necessary for Tesla to enter every category. For example, BMW doesn't sell cheap cars. They have their premium market niche. That's kind of what we were saying.
I think
Tesla's can go a little bit more down market than that. And obviously,
BMW, like the one series is not that expensive.
Especially in Europe.
Yeah. I think it's less than $30,000. That's to be right.
Yeah.
Small car. Good-looking car, though. I like it.
Yeah, it's a good small car.
Yeah.
When the shorters get louder, the stock price goes up. That's interesting. Robo-taxis could operate with human online oversight for the rare cases where the cars get stuck, or they could offer in-car intervention for those cases according to certain rules.
I've heard companies looking into that, talking about that, like having like an operation center with people remotely accessing the cars and everything. But I think there's some issues with that in terms of reliability and scalability.
Yeah. It would be kind of a, I mean, what do you do though, when there's like a, you know, an input loop or a boot, you know, an issue where the thing just won't move, or it locks in? Like, what if two cars like lock the car in or something? What would you do in that case? I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's see. I got my full self-driving hardware upgrade last week. Got an alert on my app that my car was eligible, and then took about 2 weeks to get the part in, 4 hours in service center. So that's a 4 hour service center visit story for full self-driving. And then everybody's correcting our CIAT here.
A lot of different pronunciation or way to write the pronunciation now.
Yeah. This is why electric is so good. Not afraid to call Tesla out when they're wrong.
It's probably about the warranty issue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like Fiat, I guess. That makes sense. Fiat, Seat. All right, thanks for the podcast, Green Gold. I appreciate that.
Fiat is in Italian, though, right?
Yeah. All right, we're still doing pronunciation. All right, it's still low versus the promise for the future. I think that's in regard to self-driving. I don't know. We need more context on that one. Waiting for my R1S. Okay.
A lot of people are like the SUV a lot. The SUV version of the Rivian, yeah.
More Seat. All right. Will Texas soften up on the franchise laws after the Austin factory goes in? I'm amazed that they still have any laws on the book against franchise or against Tesla.
I think the state legislation too in Texas is kind of weird, where they don't have like wide windows of opportunity to pass new things and everything like that. Like Texas liked the status quo,
right?
So it might it's hard to get things moving, but I'm sure that I don't think Tesla needs it to, like, they don't need to be part of a deal with the state to get Austin Terra factory going. But once it is going, maybe Texas will just wake up and like, all right, I might as well like get into the future with this.
Kill him with love. All right. Green Gold says, what do you think of Hyperchange calling out Nikola? I'm assuming they mean the truck and now pickup company. Didn't see that. Did you see that?
No, I haven't seen Galileo's video on that. I'm assuming he's right, even though I haven't seen it. To be honest, I kind of like an overdose of Nikola in the last few weeks. Like, I've been researching it and not impressed by it at all. Like, they did this campaign recently where they bought a bunch of paid a bunch of influencer on Instagram and everything to post about it, and like, they post about renders of a truck and everything. Like, Shaq did it, and Jerry Rig Everything, who's a big truck guy and very cool YouTuber, Tesla owner too, posted about it. Like, talking about renders here, like, you're getting paid to talk about renders.
Yeah. All right. How many miles will the battery on the ID4 get? I guess it depends on what's on top of it, but it's looking like 500 kilometers ish, WLTP or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to get an EPA on that one, because that one is actually going to be sold in the U.S., so we're going to keep an eye on that.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
But I doubt they would go below 250 for that car. That's gonna be another crossover, small SUV competitor.
All right, speaking of UI, I wish Tesla would release the ability to make their notifications and fonts bigger. Not everyone has 20/20 vision. I don't have a problem. I mean, I don't have great reading. You know, I have reading glasses here, but I don't have a problem with Tesla's display.
Yeah. I mean, it could be an option for sure.
Yeah, there's accessibility options would be nice.
If you have a problem with your vision, maybe you shouldn't be driving. That reminds me. Have you seen that thing that came out this week? I don't think I posted in the newsroom. I forgot about it. I think I saw it that night or something, so I didn't post it. But this video that came out this week of this woman at the Tesla charging station, like a Tesla destination charger, and she has an Elantra, and she parked there, and someone calls her out on it. And then she freaks out, like she does one of those freaks out.
Oh, man, I love that.
It was posted on the Reddit, like public freak out.
Nice.
And the woman goes nuts because some guy called her out on, like, you shouldn't park here. That's icing. Like, he explains to her, like, someone that needs a charge might want to park here. And you see it's all Tesla vehicles and just her with a Hyundai Elantra on the parking. And she freaks out so much that the security had to come. I don't know where it was, but there was security. Like, it was a car park where there was security. So that they come and they tell her to leave. And at the end, as she's about to enter her car or leave, and she says, like, there's no signs anywhere that says that I couldn't park here. And the security guard just points to the sign. Like, the sign is right here. It says Tesla vehicle only, Tesla destination station or something like that. And she's looking like this close at it. It's like, I can't read it. I don't see it. I cannot read it. I cannot see. And she keeps saying, I cannot see, as she gets into her car and she drives out. I'm like, ooh, that's not what you want to hear someone say right before they get into a 4,000 pound killing machine.
Maybe they should have just tased her. All right. Uh-oh, you're getting that weird sound again. Don't turn it off. We'll get through it. So Andy Towers, tweet Elon sometimes he responds directly and adds cool requested stuff. All right, maybe we should just end here. All right, thanks guys for watching. Don't forget to subscribe in your podcast app and on YouTube. Give us a thumbs up, and we'll see you next time.